Clown Car, a parenting podcast where a dad
and a mom
talk about what it's like being the ringleaders in their own circus.
We are not professionals. The only credentials we have are for kids. So do your research and find what works for you.
What's so funny?
It sounded really bad.
We're four
kids.
Four kids. Welcome, fellow ringleaders. We are your hosts, Barry and Crystal Ricks. Woo! Sorry we missed last week, but Crystal had to leave town. You left me.
Was that why?
Yeah, because you went and took Jay to a doctor's appointment in a town that was 2 hours away. So she spent the night at a friend's house.
We were going to record it earlier, but then we forgot.
We forgot because we usually record at night. We messed up our routine. And so, So, but we're recording and you can hear our wonderful voices now.
Right now.
Right now in your ear holes.
I'm Batman.
Let's talk about our crazy circus.
It's time for the stories of the week.
All right, I'm going first because I have a list from 2 weeks.
I don't.
My shocker.
What's that supposed to mean?
Okay, so first thing, this made me laugh. We were all on my bed. Well, me and the two littles. The 3-year-old and the 5-year-old and I were all in my bed, and they were fishing off the bed, imaginary fishing. And at first they were catching fish, and then all of a sudden, Jackson throws his line over the bed and reels up a white dog.
Ooh, a
white
dog.
Which, as you know, he's been asking for a white dog for a while now.
Okay.
And I said, Go make a bed for your white dog. Because I was really trying to get him out of my room. And so...
Just leave mommy alone.
He named the dog. I can't remember. It was some weird name. And he's holding the dog in his arms, like cradled to his chest. And he's walking out of the room and he trips on some laundry and falls down.
Oh, no.
On his chest. And he gets up and he goes, "It died."
You killed my dog.
He killed his own dog. And it really was, like, the way he fell, I just pictured the dog being smushed under him. It was so funny that he recognized that the imaginary dog he was holding was squished.
Right.
It was cute for a 3-year-old.
It was cute.
And he was so worried that he had to come back and fish for a black dog.
Right.
So, it was just cute.
It was cute.
It died!
I need a new dog! Sorry about that rumbled noise you just heard on the microphone. That was me hitting the mic, so...
Oh.
My bad.
Did you ruin my story?
No.
Okay. Because it was a good one.
Wow. My fault, apparently. But
you were the one rumbling
the
microphone.
Well, I was trying to do other things that will
Like not listen?
Make our sound more purty.
Oh. Like this?
Yes, exactly like that.
Sorry, it reminded me of Dumb and Dumber.
Anyway,
another Jackson story.
Another Jackson story.
We're at Walmart, and we're in line, and this is a rush time. There's people all around, and Jackson points to the cashier right next to us, and he goes, "Mommy, a bad guy! A bad guy!" And everyone, I can see some people, like, looking at him, kind of smiling, and I was like, "Why is he a bad guy?" Just playing around, and he's like, "'Cause he's black!"
Oh.
And the guy was darker skin.
Hispanic.
He wasn't black.
He's Hispanic.
And I was like, "Oh my gosh, Jackson." And he's like, "He's black. He's black. He's a bad guy." And I was like looking around thinking, we're the racist family.
Everyone thinks we're racist.
We're raising our kids to think that black people are bad guys. And then so I was like, what? And finally he says, or I realized what he was talking about is he was in a black like sweater.
Yeah. He
and
was
so,
wearing black,
and
like
I've
a
noticed,
bad guy.
I've noticed him point at people like walking down the road and he'll say, "He's a bad guy." And I think it's when they're wearing like a sweater or a hoodie or something.
Which is funny because I need to pay attention to like, because I always wear a black hoodie. I'm like,
you're a bad guy.
Does he ever call me a bad guy?
You're
black.
Anyway, it was mortifying. I was like, yes, we are very racist.
Yep.
Raising our children.
Right.
It was terrible.
Yep. Oh.
And there's no coming back from that one.
Yep. Be like, "That's us, people. Right here." Yep. You should just own up to it. Be like, "That's right. Teaching my kids."
Right. Which reminds me that our other son, our oldest son, when he was like 2, he grabbed a paring knife out of our drawer in the kitchen and stabbed himself in the leg.
Yeah.
Not too bad, but he does have a little, like...
He has a little scar.
Inch-long scar, half-inch scar on his leg. And the other day... And, I mean, we've told him the story a couple times. And the other day, he's like, "Hey, Mom, do you remember when you stabbed me with a knife?"
No.
And I was like, wait, what? And he's like, "Yeah, when he gave me that scar." I'm like, "Grayson, no. You stabbed you with that knife. I hope you're not telling people that your mom stabs you with a knife."
Right.
So now I'm scared that he's going around at school being like, "I have the scar on my leg.
Mom stabbed me.
Mom stabbed me."
Right. I'm hardcore.
We're racist and we like stabbing children.
I guess so. Wow. So
mortifying. These are the moments that make up parenthood.
This is parenthood, people. Parenthood at its best. So almost made Crystal spit some water out there in a second. But, I am horrible at either having stories or writing them down. But one of the things...
Maybe it's because you're not making stories.
Whatever. I am the making story captain.
Then make up some stories.
I am Captain Story. But, so our children, we are getting to the age where they're starting to become embarrassed by the things that their parents do. And one of those is that we kiss. So we were kissing. Crystal and I were just giving each other a little smooch. And our five-year-old is like, "There's a kid in here." She's like, "Hello, don't kiss in my presence." So, and you know, and our kid, and our oldest is always like, whenever we kiss, he like always tries to like separate us or like stuff his head in between us. And we're like, "What are you doing? Just want to kiss my wife."
Except we have one kid that's a little weird. And she likes to like get in there and have this big dopey grin.
She's like watching us.
Yeah, like, "Yes.
Kiss more." So, yeah, that's interesting as well. So, yeah, we embarrass our kids that way. But there's something else that apparently our kids are just totally, they hate that we do. But we do it every night, or almost every night. And we have a special brush your teeth song.
I don't even know how it came about. But we just, well, it's built.
Well, because I used to...
Don't say you. We both used to
Well,
do it.
But I, you know, I'd be like, "It's time to, you know, it's time to brush your teeth," or just like some weird song. And then one day I was doing that, and then you joined in, but then we started like,
I guess you have always sung it and I always clap it.
Yes.
That's how it started.
Yeah. And so then it molded into something else to, prepare to be amazed. We're going to sing it for you right now.
Are we? Okay.
It's time to brush your teeth. Brush your teeth. BRUSH TEE. That's right.
Every night.
And our kids are like, "Stop it."
Yeah. It's very unproductive.
Yeah.
They all just roll on the ground, plugging their ears. They're like,
"Ah, I'm bleeding out of my ears." But, yeah, so it actually doesn't help them get to go brushing their teeth quicker. It just makes us feel better.
The first night we sang it all the way, we were like peeing.
Yeah,
we were laughing so hard.
Because we
tickled ourselves.
That's right. So we probably just do it every night because we think it's funny.
It is funny.
We're those parents like, just like, "We think it's funny, so we're going to do it anyway." But
And we'll sing it to your girlfriends and boyfriends and your grandchildren.
That's right. So now you have heard the Brush Your Teeth song. By
patented and copyrighted.
By the Ricks. So, yep. All right, that's all I got. Because I was gone on another business trip for 3 days, essentially. So,
you know, and I've realized that we've stopped calling you. Remember how we used to be like, "Let's call every
night.
Let's
video chat." Yeah. And now we're just like, "Go to bed." Chris is like, "Go to bed, children." And then we used to call each other every night.
Yeah.
But now we're just like, text each other. "Love you, honey."
Yeah, it's like,
"Good night.
Hey, what are you watching?"
"I'm binge watching my shows." "What are you doing?" "Binge watching my shows."
Yeah. "Can't talk."
"They're involved."
"Wait, it's commercial. I can text you."
That's right. "They're about to kiss. Leave me alone." So, yep, that's
he's
our...
He's quoting me, not him.
That's right. whatever, I watch gushy girly shows. But that's our now traveling relationship is texting each other about our shows.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
How we have evolved.
That's marriage.
That's right. That's true marriage right there. That's when you know you're comfortable.
Right. Well, so I don't know if you've watched this movie. There's a movie on Netflix called Little Prince.
Little Prince.
We've mentioned a long time ago that we loved it.
It was really cute.
Did we love it?
Yes.
I can't remember.
Yeah, we liked it.
Anyway, the other day, randomly, Lacey asks to watch The Little Prince. And I was like, sweet. So I go in my room, do my own thing.
That's right. Read my books.
Or perhaps I was washing dishes and cleaning the kitchen.
Uh-huh. No, you're reading a book.
Anyway, so she wants to watch The Little Prince. And in this movie, it's basically a mom is trying to micromanage her daughter's life. So she has this chart that...
Her life plan.
The life plan. And so in the way she says it, it's like, I have every month of the year, every week of the month, every day of the week, every second of the day is mapped out on this chart.
Right.
And on how to succeed. And then throughout the movie, they all learn that life's more than just micromanagement. It's be out there and live and
go on an adventure.
Be a child and love life. And anyway, so she watches this whole movie and then comes into the bedroom and she's like, Mom, you need to make me a life plan.
That's right. Out of everything from the movie, yeah, the one thing she got out of it is like, I need a life plan.
I was like, did you watch the movie?
The movie says life plans are bad.
And so we sat down together and she was like, you need to write it up on the computer so I can hang it up. So I jokingly go along with it and I type her up a life plan where it's like, it's just a day schedule, you know, like at 7 o'clock you wake up and have breakfast and you make your bed, and I go through the whole day. And then we print it off and she tapes it up on her wall. And then
we're like, oh, that's cute.
Yeah. And then the next day she brings the life plan to me and she goes, okay, what's first? And so I tell her what to do. And then later we were planning on going to playgroup, which cut into her exercise time. And then so I said, well, let me just play some music and you can dance to it. And that's exercise. But she flipped out because it wasn't the kind of... It wasn't
real exercise.
Yeah, well, she said it wasn't exercise unless it was the Just Dance videos where they show you what moves to do.
Right.
And I was like, I don't want to listen to that. I want to listen to good music. And so anyway, she flipped out and we've had meltdowns over this life plan. And I'm like, you need to go rewatch that movie.
Thank you, Little Prince.
I know. Thanks a lot. And so
Netflix.
It magically got lost. And I'm not sad to see it go.
Didn't you find it today, though?
I did, but I think she's over that phase.
Okay.
I hope.
Well, we'll find out tomorrow.
And I'm like, you do know who your mom is, right? I don't even have a life plan. I don't even know what I'm doing tomorrow.
What's a life plan?
I can't tell you what we're having for dinner.
That's right. Food.
So. Anyway, that was frustrating.
Well, something that we purchased recently was... some new shelves. Now, the cool thing about this shelves, we purchased them specifically because we wanted to showcase our board game collection, which is continuing.
You wanted to showcase your board game.
You wanted to, too.
I wanted my towel closet back.
And so we have these shelves, so now... But it's kind of working with the... One of the ideas we thought is like, well, if the board games are out... where we can see them constantly, maybe we'll play games more as a family or just as a couple, like right. At night. And it's already been working.
A lot.
Like, I want to say, like, almost every day or at least every other day, we have played a game as a family.
And as a couple.
It's just like, oh, look, there's some games. Let's play a game real fast. And, you know, because we have some pretty quick games that you can bust out and 20 minutes or so, mm-hmm. or half an hour, which is, you know, good for the kids, and it's been great. Like, it's been fun, and some of the games we have to, like, get through it, you know, because we're tired, but we, you know, it's fun to still play with your kids and do that. And so these board game shelves have been successful. We have played more games because of it as a family, which was one of the reasons why we got it, and so... Huzzah!
Yeah, because I just had someone today tell me that they wished they had more fun in their household.
Right.
But that's something that this person was lamenting, that they don't have enough fun. And I was thinking, I think we're getting there.
We're getting better. Yeah.
I mean, I think we're fun when we're not tired and grumpy.
Yeah, which is sense. Like every day.
At nighttime.
But no, it's working. And so we'll keep reporting on that to let you know how the board game playing has been going. And give you any new recommendations we have.
Board games.
Right.
Right. So, I have a few quick things.
Okay.
The other day, I was outside reading because it's getting warm again, like I do.
It's warmer.
The kids
yeah.
play outside and I sit in a chair and read. And all of a sudden I look over and Jackson's peeing outside in our yard.
What?
Which I've never seen him do before.
Yeah.
And I was like, Jackson, that's naughty. And he turns around and goes, no, this good. This good. And I was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
He was just so like, it's all good, mommy. It's all good.
Well, at least he wasn't peeing his pants.
I just thought it was funny. And I said, you go outside or you go inside and go potty. He's like, no, you're good.
It's all natural, mommy.
I was like, who taught you this? Because I need to talk to them.
I'm a living nature.
That was funny. And then the other Jackson story is the other night. Oh, this is while you're on your business trip. He came out into the living room buck naked. And the two girls were like, ah, you're naked. Ew. And he goes, I'm not naked. And they're like, yeah, you are. And he goes, I'm not naked. I just don't have my shirt, my pants, or my underwear. And they're like, yeah.
That means you're naked.
And all of us started laughing. We're like, yeah, you're not naked at all.
Your logic is flawed.
It was funny. I laughed a lot.
Yeah.
So you're welcome for
that. We've laughed a lot this week, actually.
Yeah, it's been a good week.
Yeah. Lots of tear-jerking moments.
Except you were gone all week, so it's been great.
Because you were laughing that I was gone.
No way.
So one of the things that we, when I got back, is we decided we wanted to watch a show together.
What? We never watch shows.
Yeah, no, but but there's this documentary on Netflix right now that has been getting quite a bit of hype to it. A lot of people I know have listened or watched it and everything. So this movie was Minimalism, and it's talking about being a minimalist.
I like how you say that.
Minimalist. And we watched it, but like it's interesting because a lot of our friends are like, oh, it's so amazing. And
inspired
us. Well,
we've only heard about it a little bit.
I've listened to a lot of podcasts and they're my friends. and they have talked.
There it is.
And they have talked about, you know, how they've loved it and it's inspired them to, get rid of stuff. But the whole time I was watching it, I was like, I cannot relate to the two main guys in this show.
Or any of the guys.
Like, anyone. And then finally, because they were, like, basically rich or formerly well-paid employees, young, single, no children people. And I'm like, how can I relate to you about getting rid of stuff when I'm older than you and I have children, been married for 10 years, and naturally you just accumulate stuff.
Right, constantly.
Over that time period. But eventually they did show a couple of guys that had families. But they never, like, talked about, like, or showed, like, their house. It's just like, I have kids and I'm a minimalist. And we're like,
right.
Okay, well, tell me how to do that, or tell me how to... Like,
what's your story?
What's your story? I wanted to hear more about them than the two guys that I couldn't relate to. And I'm just like, well, I understand. I think the concept of getting rid of junk and decluttering is great, but I wanted a family man to tell me how to do that as
a
family.
Because what I got out of it was, I used to be rich and unhappy. Now I'm still rich, but I don't have any stuff.
Which makes me happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're like, okay, you know, that's cool.
Whatever.
But one of the guys that was a family man actually has six kids. And we're like, we want to know more about that guy. He has six kids and he you know, considers himself a minimalist. And so we found that guy online.
Leo Babauta.
Leo Babauta. That's awful.
I'm saying Babauta.
Babauta. But so he's at zenhabits.net. And he talks about things that you can do as a parent. And he has six kids, so I think that gives him some cred. talking about how you can maybe declutter or change some things in your life.
Now, when they talk about minimalism, they don't just mean getting rid of...
Stuff.
But right. Also, a minimalist lifestyle is like not being so excessive in everything.
Right. So, well, yeah, there's other aspects to it than just getting rid of your
stuff.
Which
I feel like they talk about in here.
Yeah.
But
so,
anyway.
So there's he gives you kind of like the 10 or 9 steps on, or ideas. Things he learned becoming a minimalist as a family.
Right.
So,
and we are talking about this because we're not interested in like the super crazy modern minimalism.
Yeah.
But I'm all for decluttering.
Yeah. And we realize that we do have junk, whether it's the kids' junk or our own junk. And we'd like to be able to get rid of that and stay getting,
this
you know,
time I'll keep it off.
That's right. I'll keep it off. Grinch.
Good job.
That's right. So we'll go over it. So number one, it says, it starts with me. So he talks about how, you know, it's great to want to do something, and but you can't like make your family do it initially. So he's like, I need to make the decision, but then I need to educate my family. This is a decision I'm making, and these are the reasons why. You might think I'm, you know, your kids might think you're the crazy parent for doing it. But that you just explain while you're doing it, and then you slowly try to, you know, involve them on what you're doing.
Yeah, and I disagree with this one.
Oh, okay.
Because whenever our kids are, like, outside or at a friend's house, I'm like, oh, go time! And I go in the room, and I fill up a garbage bag with, you know, toys or whatever that I don't think they'll play with, and then I get out of there. So they don't need to know that I just got rid of half their stuff.
Right.
They don't need to know. There's no conversation. It's just me doing it.
Well, I mean, I think this is more talking about how I want to make a change in my life. So I'm informing my family that I want to make a change.
I know. Well, and like in the movie, the guy, one of the main guys has a girlfriend. And he said, she doesn't really see eye to eye with the way I live.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like, you can still live it without everyone else living
it around you. So, okay. So, number one, starts with you as an individual.
Duh.
Number two.
Minimalism is a conversation. And I like this one because it's talking about that you need to talk to your family about what's important in your life, what's important in your home. And they said oftentimes we do things and we own things, but no one knows why.
Yeah.
It's like just there.
Just stuff.
Right. Like our kids have always been raised with a lot of books. We have books, or we have, you know, lots of movies, and we have lots of board games. But we never say like, we own books because reading is very important to us.
Right.
And we want you guys to love reading. Or, you know, same thing with board games. We want to have fun as a family. And I think, so a lot of times you are raised not really knowing. I mean, moms and dads have the whole say on what the house looks like and what it does, but why we need to talk about why things are important to us.
Right. I totally agree.
Okay, then.
So, no, it's important to have open communication.
Well, and I like it because if you can point out what's important, I think it's easier to recognize, especially as a family,
what's not important. Be like, oh, why do I have, you know, 10
blankets,
million different
blankets
and stuff.
Why do we have a basket of blankets
and stuffed animals? Like,
well, I know why we have stuffed animals.
Well,
our girls are crazy about
it. Do we need 2 million of them? So, all right. So number two is minimalism is a conversation. So three, enjoy the simple pleasures. So it's talking about how you don't need to spend a lot of money to enjoy doing things with your family. So they talk about how they like to, you know, they try to play outside and play games together, cook together. And they, but I like how he says, now I'm not saying we do these things every single day. He's like, sometimes we just don't have the time or energy, which we can all relate to as parents. But we started showing them that simple pleasures are amazing. And you don't need to spend a lot of money to enjoy life. And I totally agree with that.
Right. Well, and there's a little park right around the corner from us. And twice this week, I just happened to take the kids to the park. And it was like I gave them all $50. They came home and they're like, thank you so much for taking us to the park. And I thought, I should do this more often.
Right.
It's a free thing. And I always am like, let's go to McDonald's as a family or, you know, daddy's home. Let's go out and spend money.
It's also been cold, so we haven't like gone to the park, but it's been warming up, as you said earlier.
But it just made me realize, like, our kids really appreciate things that we might not necessarily put value on.
Yeah. Family experiences are better than stuff.
But small experiences are just as good.
Yeah.
Maybe even better.
There you go. All right.
Next one is see setbacks as learning opportunities. This one,
yeah.
Is basically, if you're trying to declutter your life and say a relative brings over a bag full of hand-me-downs or toys that you don't really want, they're saying, don't just get upset or feel overwhelmed, but take it as a chance to learn. Teach your kids, like, what are we going to do with this stuff? Or how can we talk to our family member about not giving us stuff anymore? And
right.
So don't get down.
Use setbacks as a learning opportunity, as I said.
Which I think everyone I've ever talked to, ourselves included, who has tried to declutter their house, this happens to them.
Yeah.
They have some family member that loves to give them stuff. And it is hard.
It is hard. But I have no problem getting rid of the stuff that family members give me. Be like, oh, thank you, trash.
Not trash. Salvation Army.
All right, donate.
I don't throw things away. I always donate.
That's right.
One man's trash is another man's treasure.
That's right. So number five, our challenges are incredibly fun. And it talks about how they do family challenges. And maybe one of the things you could think about is like, let's see what we can get rid of in our house as a challenge. Or they just talked about doing other things like doing a push-up challenge that brings them closer together as family. But that minimalism is just another challenge. And if you tackle it as a family, then it could be a fun experience.
Right.
So challenges are
fun. So basically get the family involved.
Yes.
Well, and get your family involved in anything. I think this is the other thing is saying sometimes our lives are so cluttered, not with stuff, but with
doing stuff.
Yeah. That we miss out on little special experiences. Like you said, the push-up experience or reading scriptures as a family every day.
Yeah.
Like those kind of challenges are the ones that really can bring family close together, but we clutter our lives so much that we miss out on a lot of good opportunities.
Right.
And then the next one is change traditions in a positive way.
I kind of like this one.
Okay. Specifically, the whole concept?
Just the concept. So, like...
Well, this one's mine, so I'm going to take it.
Go for it.
His example is Christmas. But he said, why do you have to do things that have always been done that way?
Yeah, it's just like, everyone expects you to do it this way, and so we just do it that way because it's expected of us to do it that
way. Right, kind
of
like for the last 2 years, we've just happened to go to IHOP for Valentine's Day as a family. Because we've mentioned it is a tradition in our family to go out to eat as a family.
Yeah, go on for Valentine's Day, we go out to
a restaurant that we never go to.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we usually only go to Burger King and McDonald's.
Right.
So for the last 2 years, we've gone to IHOP. And this year, Lacey said,
like, unintentionally, because the last time we went is because Grandma and Grandpa was like, let's go to IHOP and we'll pay for you. And we're like, okay.
Right. So, because when I grew up, my parents always took us to a steakhouse.
Like a steakhouse, yeah.
Steakhouse for Valentine's Day. And so I was telling our kids, you know, when you guys are older, it'll be so fun. Maybe we could go to get steaks at a nice restaurant. And Lacey was like, I like IHOP.
I like IHOP.
And my other son was like, but it's pancakes. And I thought, we've inadvertently made pancakes a Valentine tradition.
That's right.
Which I love, but I just thought, but then I felt almost like, well, I guess we're doing pancakes. Because that is now what everyone associates with Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
But anyway, why do you have to always do tradition the same way?
Yeah.
Like he said, why do we need to buy a million Christmas gifts?
Yeah, why do you need to buy so many Christmas gifts on Christmas just because everyone else does it?
Right. It's tough to change traditions because people are loath to let go of what they're used to. But so he gives an example, like, what if instead of buying Christmas gifts, we use that money to buy experiences?
Yeah, like, so tell the kids, like, well, maybe we'll get you a couple stocking stuffers, but we'll use the rest of the money to save to go to Disneyland.
Or a water park, or...
Yeah.
Or...
Some sort of family vacation to create an experience rather than collecting stuff that you're not going to use in a month.
Right. Right. So, basically, you can even minimize tradition. But we are probably going to get pancakes this Valentine's.
Probably. All right. Next one is talk to other family members. Just basically educating your other family members. Like, okay, this is what I'm doing. This is why I'm doing it. Don't give us stuff.
Please.
Right. Or don't give us, you know, it's okay to receive gifts, of course. But, like, don't give us excess amounts of items that we don't need.
Right.
Right. We, like, our kids don't necessarily need more of that same toy they have. Or, you know, but maybe they can just help you get more experiences as a family. Like, well, if you want to give something to our family, help us, you know, maybe give us an IHOP card and we can take our family out to eat.
Movie tickets, yeah. Bowling things. Anyway, the next one is find new ways to replace stuff.
Yes.
I like this because paper and memories are my... I love holding on to things that I love.
well, sentimental items.
Right, and I'm so forgetful that I know if I get rid of, like, this cute little card I got from my daughter, I'm not going to remember that.
Right.
So I love keeping those kinds of things. But he says you don't have to keep the real thing. You could, like he said, for example, we got rid of our photo albums by digitizing our photos and we use them as screensavers. So you're always going through the pictures and seeing them.
Yeah. Like
which
on,
is fun.
On the computer screen, the pictures are just constantly going through so people will see them.
Right. And he said that I digitize all papers, including artwork and school papers, when they are going to school and little notes from them to me. So I guess instead of having that giant box of first grade papers that
you have a smaller box of like portable hard drives.
Yeah, or have my little jump drive.
Right.
That can come with us everywhere.
That's right. I mean, yeah, and a jump drive, like those type of things. I mean, you can get jump drives that are like ton of gigs nowadays.
Right. Well, and you know that question, what would you grab if your house was on fire? Right. I always think my photo albums, all the photos on my wall.
Right.
But in this case, my jump drive.
I'd grab a couple jump drives that I know that has either important documents on it or, you know.
Well, and now they have cloud. Is that what
yeah,
it is?
The cloud.
I'm not that tech.
Yeah,
you can save things online.
Yeah,
I mean, the
cloud.
So it is a really good alternative.
Alternative. But some people, if you're into your photo albums, that's understandable because part of minimalism is not, like we said, it's not just getting rid of stuff, but it's getting rid of stuff you don't use and that don't have value to you.
Right.
Because like one of the things that we liked that they said in the movie that we watched, because they went to like a book fair or something like that because they were promoting their book, and they're saying, you know, some people have, you know, a huge collection, like a library collection, because they love their books and they love the feel of them, the smell of them, they love reading them, they love giving them to friends, and they're like, you know what? That's awesome. Don't get rid of your library because you are getting actual value out of that.
Right.
What we're saying is people have...
Or a positive emotional response.
That's right. What we're saying is people have so much non-essential things that they're not getting value out of.
Like a basket full of blankets.
Right. That you need to get rid of.
They're killing me. We have so many clothes and blankets.
All right. Last one is be present with each step. The most important thing isn't the changes you make, it's the focus on the outcomes. You'll get frustrated because you don't completely control your family members. So, keep on keeping on.
Fake it till you make it.
Fake it till you make it.
Give a man a fish.
So, and then at the end of the article, it gives some of their family challenges and stuff like that, which were kind of interesting.
Obviously, this guy is loaded, so it's hard to...
I don't know if
Once again, are minimalists all rich?
I don't know.
I don't get it.
I don't know if he's rich, but it's... But, you know what? It's interesting because it just seems like they can do a lot of things, but maybe it's because of their lifestyle. Like, you know, because we also know some other families that they choose not to go out to eat, and they don't buy a lot of gifts for their kids. But they go on, like, big family trips every single year.
But they do make a pretty pile of cash.
Well, they did. They were well off, too. But they used most of the money that they saved from, like, going to the, fast food restaurant that, you know, they put it towards experiences.
Right.
So, there are ways that...
I like to experience good food.
That's right. There are ways that you can save money more than you think you can to go towards those fun experiences in life.
Well, so anyway, we hope you thought this was interesting.
Yeah.
Because we have noticed that minimalism is a huge movement
right
now.
It's almost trendy.
And we want to hop on this trend.
Yes, right.
Well,
we at least want to, like, declutter a little bit.
Right, because I feel like my day is always just picking up the clutter.
Right.
And I feel like a lot of the clutter is because our kids will knock down all their toys and then not play with them.
Right.
And so... Anyway, or dishes or whatever. So we are interested in decluttering. And so hopefully we inspire you to think about what's important in your own life. And that's it.
That's right. So thank you for listening to The Clown Car. Parenting is hard. And we believe you should get a gold star just for trying.
Just remember, our way is not the only way. Find what works for you. You are doing a good job.
You can follow us and share your thoughts on all of our social media, but we are most active on Facebook. So share this post on Facebook with your friends. Spread the word of the clown car. And you can always email us at theclowncarshow@gmail.com. And make sure you subscribe.
Rate.
Review our show on iTunes. And until next time... Enjoy your circus. You've been listening to a Closet Geek Studios production. For all information about Closet Geek Studios, visit theclosetgeek.net for all your geeky needs, or follow us on Twitter and Facebook.